Welcome to the She's Marked podcast. I'm Hannah, a singer, writer, speaker, podcaster, and certified biblical counselor. I'm honored to be your host along this journey to stronger faith, holiness, emotional restoration and healing, and deliverance for the millennial woman. Join me as we press toward unpacking the heavy luggage of our hearts in pursuit of a life that is distinct, set apart, and built on the practical foundation of God's truth. She is walking in power. She's walking in freedom. Without a doubt, all will know that she's marked. Ladies, thank you so much for tuning in to the She's Marked podcast. I'm so glad to be your host today with another special guest episode. I'm going to get to that in just a second, but before we start, I want to invite you to tune into a series that is so near to my heart entitled For the Moms. For the Moms is an annual written blog series that I host over on the Marked Life blog. And each year, I gather a cohort of godly women who come together to just share their real life testimonies, their victories, their trials, and their ever growing faith in God. They talk about many of the things that they have walked through in their mothering journey, and they talk about who they have become and are becoming through this process, this pruning process that God uses, not only to shape us, not only to shape our children, but to fulfill His purpose for this earth, for this time, for this season that we're in. I'm so grateful for the work that God is doing continually in my heart in terms of being unconditional and unwavering in my faith, in my prayer, in my concern for other human beings. And I'm just grateful for the growth and the expansion that has been happening, not only in my heart, but in the hearts of mothers. So happy month of May to you. Mother's Day is, depending on the time of the release of this episode, Mother's Day is still coming. I don't know. I'm not sure of the exact time that this episode will be released, but if Mother's Day has already passed, I hope that you had a wonderful Mother's Day. If Mother's Day is a time of soreness for you, I pray for continued healing, renewed hope, renewed joy, and renewed faith for you. Today, I have a very special guest by the name of Karen Meyer. Karen is actually one of the featured moms in the For the Moms blog series. So check out her feature when it comes out. And I want to tell you a little bit about Karen before I go ahead and start the interview that I had with her. Karen Meyer from Cape Cod has been married for 17 years and she has two boys, ages 15 and 14. God has poured so much into her through the years that she believes now is her time to be able to give back by pouring into others. Moms pour out all they are and all they have for their children, and they need someone to come alongside them to refresh, encourage, and build them up. Karen feels that the Lord has called her to be a mom to moms, and as she says, hashtag the mom's mom. If she can help moms be emotionally healthy and strong, then she will be impacting their homes, their children, and their husbands. She believes healthy moms raise healthy children. Karen's coaching program, a 90-day guide on how to bring transformation to your family and revitalize your life, empowers overwhelmed moms to deal with constant demands and to prioritize themselves so they can be the superwoman their family expects them to be. She helps them to learn to maintain peace in the midst of chaos and stress, better manage their time, and find purpose in the mundane. Karen, we are so grateful for your work, and I'm so blessed to release our wonderful chat that we had. And now, ladies, let's get into this interview with Karen Meyer. All right. And today I have Karen Meyer with me here. We are going to be talking about a few different topics. I came across Karen in my search for moms for my annual For the Moms blog series. Karen was one of the handful of women who so willingly and graciously volunteered to be a part of the series. And I have been blessed in just reading her feature and talking with her a little bit about her ministry and her heart for women, her heart for mothers. And so we are going to be hearing from Karen today. There were a few theme things that come to mind when I have talked to Karen and I have read some of her work. And those things, those themes that come to my mind are wisdom, waiting, and being led by the Spirit. And so that is what we're going to be talking about today as we share with Karen and we hear a little bit about her life. So Karen, how are you?
I'm great. Thank you. Thanks, Hannah, for having me on your podcast. Really, I'm honored and it's a privilege to talk to your listeners today.
Absolutely. It's a blessing to have you, Karen. Go ahead and tell listeners a little bit about who you are and about your heart and work with mothers.
Okay. Well, my name is Karen Meyer. I live on Cape Cod, beautiful Cape Cod, not always, but most of the time. It's a blessing. I'm the mom of two boys. I have two sons, 15 and 14. And I always call myself an old mom because I got started late. And again, that's part of the process of waiting on the Lord for his perfect timing. And believe me, I was not always a patient waiter, but in the long run, it is worth it to wait on the Lord for sure.
Amen.
God answered my prayer exceedingly abundantly above all that I could have asked or imagined. And so being an old mom, I feel like I do have wisdom to offer. The Bible talks about the older teaching the younger. And I feel like I've been called to do that. And even though through all those years I babysat, I had a brother that was much younger than me. I was always around kids and babies. I was in children's ministry and nursery, and I did the teens for a long time. But there's nothing like having your own. And being an older mom, that was a huge adjustment for me. And it was really had some challenges health-wise and everything. And so I just have such a heart for moms that go through the struggle of feeling alone or doing it alone or, you know, the lack of sleep. And so I feel like I, because of what I have been through, I have a lot to offer moms. And so God's called me to them.
Absolutely. Now, just so that listeners know, I know you do mention it in the For the Moms feature that is going to be released. But tell us, Karen, when did you become a mom? At what age?
I got married when I was 40. I had Sam when I was 41, and I had Joshua when I was 43.
Okay. So then that's going to bring me into my next question, which you already started to touch on. It's what has your experience been like being an older mom? You talk about the wisdom. But what has your experience been like as an older mom, even just not only with your experience, but I guess even how other people's, reactions or response has been to you?
For me personally, being an older mom brings wisdom because you've been around more. I feel like I've been around kids that have, like I babysat for kids and now they're adults. And so I've seen a lot of kids grow up, and even though they had their struggles when they were young, they turn out to be good adults. And so I think being an older mom made me much more relaxed, mm-hmm. that I'm going to do the best that I can to raise my children, but I'm going to pray and give them to the Lord. And then he's going to take care of the rest, and he's going to make up for the areas where I fail. And I know that I will fail. And I even tell my kids that I am going to fail you, but Jesus will never fail you. You know, so I think it makes me more relaxed. Physically, it was challenging and exhausting, but mentally and emotionally, you're like, it's all going to work out fine. Like I was in a helicopter mom. I didn't follow around them even as babies, afraid they were going to fall. You know, it's like, you'll get back up.
You'll be all right.
It's not going to be fine. My boys still complain about aches and pains from baseball. Listen, I'm going to be 57. They're 15 and 14. They complain way more than me about aches and pains. And I'm like, you will be okay.
You're going to make it. Right. You're going to make it. You know, I just love that relaxation. I like to call it the rest of the Lord, the rest that he has given you in that. And that's a treasure. It really is. So talk to me about God's timetable. Why is his timetable filled with so much more wisdom and meaning than ours?
I think it comes back to that scripture, and I believe it's in Isaiah, that says that God's ways are higher than our ways. And I'm a big puzzle doer. I love to do puzzles. Mm-hmm. And when you're putting those pieces together, you don't see how it's going to come together yet. I mean, you have the picture, you know the goal where you're going, but when you're in the midst of putting the pieces together, pieces don't always go where you think they're going to go.
Yeah.
You know, or the little picture on the puzzle piece doesn't fit. And I think that is so much like our lives.
Yeah.
We're in the puzzle, so we don't see the big picture. But God does. He knows the plan. He knows the perfect timing. And boy, I've seen that time and time again. I mean, honestly, Hannah, I'm in a place in my life now of just waiting on the Lord mm-hmm. with this new business venture that I'm starting, of waiting on His perfect timing, doing what yeah. He's called me to do in the meantime, but trusting Him to bring the results and to bring the fruit in His time. And as sometimes I struggled when I was waiting for Mark in my life, or my husband, you know, I shared with you that I got engaged one time. This guy was really nice, loved me, was really good to me. He asked me to marry him. And of course I wanted to be married. I thought this was the man that God brought me. Mm. On the outside, it looked good. On the outside, it looked good. But I knew in my spirit that it wasn't the best that God had for me. This wasn't His plan.
Wow.
And without anybody else understanding that, I just knew in my spirit, I did not have a peace. I saw red flags, and I wanted to wait on the best that God had for me.
Yes.
And I was so glad I did, because later I found out things that I didn't know at the time. So against what everybody else saw, I knew in my spirit that it was just not the right man, not the right time. And I can't even say that Mark came along like shortly after that. It was many years after that that I finally met the man that I was going to marry. And I feel like God honored that. God blessed that heart to just want him above what my own self wanted. And that would be my, you know, advice to somebody who's waiting on the Lord, is you have to wait. It will do you well to wait for the best that God has for you, you know.
I keep hearing that word. It's resonating so deeply for me, the word God's best.
Yeah.
You know, I know that a lot of times the angst in waiting is that you may fear that you're going to miss out on something.
Yep.
You may fear that, you know, you're not going to get the best thing. And so that can be really challenging for a lot of people in truly believing that God has the best for you.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes when you don't see anything, and it really, I mean, you can't even see it in the distance. There's just like no indicator of that prayer being answered. We try to fill in, we try to manufacture.
Yeah.
And I think we really struggle with the question, does God really have the best for me? Is he truly a good God? And so trusting that he has the best plan for us, that he knows all, that his ways are far above our ways, his thoughts are higher than our thoughts, that can certainly be a challenge for many. So was there ever a time that you lost hope or questioned God in the waiting?
I feel it's funny because I was sharing that question with a friend. And I felt like there was. I felt like it was a constant struggle in that area for me personally. And that may have been just inside of me. And on the outside, I was full of faith, because she said, I don't think you did. I think you always believed that God had a husband and children for you. You know, there's always going to be times of struggling and you're just not sure. But then my heart was, I also don't feel called to be single forever. You know, if that were the case, I would have thought I would feel more content in that. And I'm like, no, God has more. So many people, because it's a long time to wait. And back then, even I think longer, maybe now people get married a little, more people get married later and have children later. But at that time, you know, 20, 30 years ago, people got married more like 30s, you know, or 20s, 30s. They didn't get married in their 40s and have kids in their 40s.
Interesting. So I want to really quickly touch on, you mentioned talking about your fiance, that early engagement. And so I want to quickly touch on that topic of singleness. What were some of the core lessons and wisdom that you gathered in that season of singleness and of waiting for the man that God had for you?
So I know that God was just really, I know it's kind of cliche, but God was preparing me for my husband, yeah. And he was preparing Mark for me because Mark had some things going on in his life. And I think as much as I would have loved to have met him sooner, I always say, I would have driven you crazy because I was so needy and so insecure. Mm. And so those years of waiting built that in me. I went through a healing process. I was so blessed to have pastors who were like my spiritual parents. I lived with them even for a season and they just poured into me. And I got to see them set the example for me in their own marriage, in their own family. And I had a group of older women. We all spent time together and they mentored me and just helped me through that process, through my struggles and my complaining about being single. It was such a time of being built up and mentored and taught, really, how to be a good wife. My pastor was awesome because he told me what men don't like. And that I still take that into my marriage and try not to like be that nagging wife. And I have two young men, you know, I try not to nag them. Sometimes they need to be nagged. But I don't want to be the Bible talks about a nagging woman and living in the same house. And I'm like, I don't want to be that woman. You know, I know what men like. I know what men don't like. That time of singleness, I was able to just learn so much and grow and mature and get healed. So it was really a good time. And I spent a lot of time in church and going to conferences. And it was like I lived all my fun years so that, you know, now I don't need that as much. I like to be home with my family and spend time with my family.
That is so good. That is so good. There's such a value in singleness. And I know a lot of times, not only culture can influence kind of this sort of desperation and anxiety, but even as women may look around and they see their friends marrying off, and it seems like everyone around them has gotten their Boaz, if you will, it can really bear down on their emotions and their minds. But I think that singleness is such a valuable time. And I love how you now, even in just reflecting on your state of singleness and of waiting, how you chose to use that time as a platform of preparation. You know, it wasn't just, woe is me. Mm-hmm. I'm waiting. Lord, when? It was actually a training ground for you to be ready for that time or to be prepared for that time that your husband came. So that is such a blessing. And I think it's such an insightful way that women can look at their singleness.
Right. Right.
Now, while we're still on the topic of singleness and marriage and those types of things, talk about awakening love before the time. You mentioned being engaged before and it looking good from the outside, but it not ultimately being what God wanted for you. How would you counsel women who are in the shoes that you are in regarding trusting God and waiting despite being lonely and that whole process of awakening love before the time?
I guess the biggest, there's these cliches. I hope it's not, but my dad always told me, follow your heart. And, you know, if we have the Holy Spirit in our heart, we have to, instead of look, like you said, the pressure of and seeing what everybody else is doing. And I saw a lot of that. All my friends got married young, had children. You know, but now their children are all grown and out of the house and I still have children. So I wanted that so badly, but not badly enough to go against the peace of the Lord. And just knowing in my heart, having that check, having that hesitation. And I think I believe we know if we have the Holy Spirit in there. Some people are not super sensitive to that. I happen to be, which I am really thankful for. But I think you still have a check. You still have that small voice. You're like, something is not right. You have to go with that. You know, even if you don't make, I try to never make decisions, you know, either hormonal or, you know, under any being tired. I try to be clear-minded. So I would encourage someone, if you even just have a little check, to pursue that, to investigate that, to pray about that and see, and not, if it's not right, it's not the right person, not the right time, to be strong enough to say, I'm going to wait. And if that's meant to be, then it would come back around. When I ended it with that man, even my dad said at the time, told him, go to her with flowers, pursue her. And he didn't do that. And I think that was the Holy Spirit as well. It made it clear that it was not meant to be.
Yes. Oh, Karen, you're giving me lots to think about here. You know, you mentioned God's peace.
Mm-hmm.
His peace is not in it. Sometimes we forego the peace of God because of that neediness in our flesh, the desires of our flesh, or mm-hmm. what we think we should have at a certain time. And sometimes that seems to hold more weight than the peace of God that we receive when we obey his commands. And it's mm-hmm. not easy. But I think an important thing for ladies to keep in mind is to not think about the here and now, but to think down the road, think about the end, think about 5 years from now, you know, what you're feeling right now or yearning for or itching for, that might not be there 5 years from now.
Right.
So I think it's wise to not be swayed by the itchiness or the desperation of your flesh or what you think you need right now, especially if it's contrary to the word of God or his leading.
Yeah. Amen. Amen.
So then what does heeding the Holy Spirit's guidance mean? And what does it do in our lives?
I think it's... You know, I always say that, like the Bible says, man makes his plan, but God orders his steps. Yeah. So we always have to be moving. You have to move in a certain direction. And I feel a lot of times the leading of the Holy Spirit, the guiding, the direction will open and close doors as you move.
Yeah.
That's the biggest. You can, and of course, you know, like I said, you have a feeling in your heart, that check in your spirit. But sometimes it's things on the outside that just doors that open and close. Something's not happening. See, you feel like you have to force it to make it happen. Maybe that's not God's will. There's a battle there, though, sometimes, because sometimes we do have to press in for the things of God or his promises.
Yeah.
We have to know him, have that relationship with him, know his word, pray, yield ourselves, and then just move and let God lead us and guide us, orchestrate our lives, if you will. And he's faithful to do that. He loves to do that. He loves to say, Lord, I surrender it to you, you know? And I think no matter what, our marriages are, as we parent our children, we have to come constantly. I'm in a struggle right now with my teenagers, you know, and I'm like, Lord, you've got to help me with this. I just release it to you, because they're going to do what they do, but how am I going to respond to it? And honestly, it's not always the right way. But, you know, like I talk about too, is you just ask them to forgive you, ask God to forgive you and to give me guidance on, all right, now how do I deal with this the way that you want me to? And Holy Spirit, lead me, you know?
And he's like you said, he's faithful to do that. He will do that. He will not leave us to our own vices. I love that. How do you think that God uses the hardest times in our lives and turns it for his good?
My favorite scripture is, in Corinthians, when it says to comfort others with the comfort that we have received. So the things that have happened in our lives, the bad things, I mean, I've had bad things happen in my life, but God has used them. Just, I love it to throw it right in the devil's face and say, we're going to use this to further my kingdom and to bring healing to mostly women, to other women. And I've shared my testimony and people are amazed at that I've been through some of the things I have. And it's the process. The biggest thing is the process of forgiveness, process of inner healing. And it's such a testimony to say, the Lord is no respecter of persons. He can do this for you just like he did it for me. But sometimes going through that process, like of inner healing, I say it's like cleaning out a cesspool. You have to dig through all the crap, excuse me. Yeah. But to get to the bottom, to pull out that plug and drain all that stuff out so we can clean it up and be all that God has called us to be. And my life is such a testimony to that. And the biggest thing is the forgiveness. Yeah. But now the Lord can use that to be a blessing to somebody else. And that's what I love. It becomes a weapon in our battle.
Yes, it does. Yes, it does. Talk to me, and this is kind of off the grid a little bit, but for the woman who's listening, whose heart may be really aching, there's a lot of gunk there that needs to be cleaned out. And I think particularly on the topic of forgiveness, what is forgiveness, Karen? How does that look for that woman?
Wow. Yeah. Forgiveness is, first of all, forgiveness is constant. Forgiveness is, you know, when somebody's hurt you or somebody's abused you and you're around that person, you have to constantly remind myself, I have forgiven him.
Yeah.
You know, and so it releases the person who's hurt you and it releases you. And it's not that they deserve it. I have this conversation with my sister all the time because honestly, she has not forgiven and the bitterness has eaten her up. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, you have to forgive. Yeah. It's going to be so healing for you. And you'll see things begin to happen in your life that you want, good things. And she just doesn't. She's like, I don't understand how you can forgive that person. I can't. And it's like, you don't forgive that person because they deserve it.
Yeah.
You forgive them for yourself.
That's right.
And you forgive them for them. They almost have less power over you when you forgive them than when you don't.
Right.
Unforgiveness is like just holding on to that and you can never move on from that place.
Yeah. It paralyzes you. And I think there's a lot of a misconception that if you forgive someone, you are basically coming into agreement with or saying that what they did was okay. And forgiveness has nothing to do with that.
That's right. It doesn't
mean that what they did was okay. And
nope.
What I'm always reminded of is that God is the ultimate judge.
Yep.
He may be slow, but he's sure. And he is going to hold everyone accountable. I think that's also a fear too, that, okay, if I'm forgiving, I'm letting this person off the hook. And you kind of feel like you have to hold them on the hook and accountable.
Yes.
But I think a huge component is realizing our role and God's role. It's never our role to hold someone on the hook.
That's right.
We can address things, we can confront things, but it's not our job to render judgment. Only God can do that. And so I love that. That response, that it frees us up.
Yes.
What I had noticed for a while in my life at a time where forgiveness was very difficult for me because of things that were done to me is that God started dealing with me as I would bring my complaints to him about other people. He would always, before he even brought the comfort of what had been done to me, he would start tending to my heart.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
He would start tending to my heart. He would start convicting me because he doesn't. I find that God cares so much about us that it could be easy if we were to control the narrative, it would be easy for God to just come and deal with the other person. But even if he just dealt with the other person the way that we think that he should, it still leaves us with this sore.
Right.
This like
icky achiness, and he loves us too much to leave us in that sick state.
Yeah.
So God has shown me that, you know, I could certainly deal with this person according to what you think or what you desire, Hannah, but you'd still walk away bloody and hurt.
Mm.
So I need to tend to you first. And because I'm so righteous and I'm so holy, even your pain has to meet my standard of holiness.
Yeah.
You know, I always think of Psalm 37. I don't have the entire chapter memorized, but I always recommend that for people who are truly hurting. I recommend that for their own heart, but for them to also kind of get a snapshot of what God desires of us. You know, he tells us many times in that chapter, fret not yourself because of evildoers. Don't fret. It only leads to sin. You know, so he tells us what the expectation is for us, even in our affliction. Even as we may be being violated or harmed, he talks about where he wants our heart to be, because there's just such a risk that is run when we allow bitterness to stew.
That's right. Yeah.
So, thank you so much for that. I wanna now turn it. We've definitely talked about marriage and we've talked about the season of singleness. Talk to me, getting back to now your work with mothers. What do you believe are some of the burdens that mothers are carrying, and how can they begin to be yielded to God's healing? What does that look like?
I mean, of course, I believe motherhood is one of the hardest jobs in the world. There are so many demands. And again, I mean, that starts in pregnancy and early childhood in infants are, that was a brutal stage for me, honestly. I'm a huge one on communication, and you cannot communicate with an infant, not like verbally. You know, I like words. There are no words. They're crying and you don't know what's wrong with them. Trying to meet somebody's needs that you have no idea what they need is so challenging. So I think it got easier as they got older and you could talk to them. But the demands and the different hats that we wear and the different expectations of moms, and you've got the biggest thing. I've talked to a lot of moms when I'm trying to start my business. You know, we've had some interviews, is the time thing. Everybody's trying to manage their time and balance their time and prioritize what things are important. And then you have the demands that your children make on you and what they need. And of course, I homeschool my kids, so I'm in a big homeschool community. And that's a lot of, because it's a blessing to always be with your children, but you're always trying to meet their needs.
Yes.
That when do you do the other stuff? And when do you meet your own needs? And how does your husband fit into that? And so that's a big challenge and a big part of my program is the time management and balancing everything. One of the segments of my program that I love is titled Being a Mary with a Martha Heart.
Mm.
So we're busy and we have things that we have to do, responsibilities, but how do we keep our time and our hearts and our minds on Christ and Him foremost in the midst of that busyness, in the midst of sometimes the chaos?
Yeah.
And the hecticness, if you will, you know. So I think those are some of the challenges that moms face. And that's my programs for overwhelmed moms, because I think it's life that can be overwhelming, but adding the aspect of motherhood to it.
Yeah, that brings it to a completely different level.
Yeah. Yeah. And some of these homeschool families and some people not even homeschooled have a ton of kids.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. How do you keep track of all those different personalities? Like, how do you even serve dinner to six different people? They can't all like the same thing. So even from the basic needs being met to the, you know, each one's love language and meeting every love language.
Yeah.
It's how do you do it without the Lord? You need Jesus to strengthen you every day and the Holy Spirit to give you wisdom.
So true. So true. Now, healthy moms equal healthy kids. Talk to us more about that and the impact of unhealthy and unhealed motherhood on the family. I know that's something else that you said you focus on in your program.
Yes. Yeah. You know, because I'm older and I've gone through my healing process, I'm of the mindset that, and again, this is the forgiveness factor, but my parents did the best they could with what they knew. So I forgive them for the mistakes that they made and the hurt that they caused. But the truth is that they did cause hurt. Yeah. Like you said, there are consequences. And I am so thankful that I get to raise my children in a healthy household mm-hmm. where they don't have to experience, you know, some of those things that I went through, the anger, you know, constantly living on pins and needles, you know. My mom, I love my mom, but her love language is service. Like, I remember as a kid saying, "You never say you love me." Mm-hmm. And she said, "Well, I don't need to tell you, you know, by the things that I do for you." Yeah. But I did need to hear that she loved me. So with my children, I tell them I love them all the time. And I'm not even sure my parents know what a love language is even now.
Yeah.
And I've worked hard to find out what my kids' love language is so that I will always be, you know, one son likes quality time. So I try to spend time with him. My other son is like me. He's very affectionate. So I can... If he and I are having a battle, I just stop and say, "Let me give you a hug," and it diffuses everything. Mm. And so those are things that as a healthy mom, you know what you need to do, like to diffuse a situation like that. And it helps your kids to be healthy. And to say, again, being honest with them or quick to say, "Hey, I blew it. I overreacted. I'm sorry."
Mm. Yes.
And kids are so quick to forgive us. And I think that's such a wonderful lesson as parents, because sometimes when they were little, you tuck them in at night and I'm like, "Mom made mistakes today and I'm sorry." "It's okay, Mom." And it would break my heart. It would make me cry because it was too easy. And that's what God's forgiveness is. And that whole forgiveness process, a lot of times we need to forgive ourselves and say, "I'm going to let myself off the hook here. Because again, I'm doing the best that I can." And it's good for your kids to know that you are not Jesus. Jesus will be everything.
Yes.
And Father God is perfect. And we will always fail. And they're going to make mistakes too. Let's just let's defeat that enemy of perfectionism right here.
Yes. Yes. Let's put it to rest.
Yeah.
Put it to rest. And that is a beautiful thing. I can totally relate to what you shared. When you make a mistake and you bring it to your child and they're ready to forgive.
Oh, yeah.
It does break your heart. Obviously you're overwhelmed with that love and just their willingness, their tenderness of heart. And I often say, you know, in our motherhood, yes, a part of it is raising our children and bringing them up in the fear of the Lord and instilling quality things in them. But there is someone that we are becoming in our motherhood as well.
Yeah.
God is using this work to shape us and to refine us. And Karen, I'm just so grateful to you. I love the fact that with all the wisdom that you have gained by God's grace, that you are looking back and you are reaching down and you're pulling up other women. I feel that you have so much wisdom and value to offer. And so I am so grateful for that and your work that you're doing with women. You know, there is no manual for motherhood. There's no real manual for it. And so I think it's a blessing when women, and especially when older seasoned women, can look and assist us newer moms or younger moms as we're coming up. It means so much.
Amen. Thank you.
It means so much. So tell me, where can listeners find you? How can they connect with you even for your services?
Well, let me give you I have an email address, which they can always email me at. It's KMMEJEUR. So KMMEJEUR@yahoo.com. And then I'm on Facebook as Karen Meyer. And I don't have a website yet. We'll be working on that upcoming, but that's the best way right now.
Perfect. And again, listeners, I'll be including that information in the show notes. And Karen, before I let you go today, I want to end on a lighter note, kind of changing the pace here. And I have some lightning round questions for you. So are you ready?
Okay. I'm ready.
Okay. So the first one, what is your go-to snack?
Okay. I like, my go-to snack is Cheetos. I love Cheetos, not Puffs, the other ones. And what's really funny about that is I hated those when I was younger. And now I can't get enough. I don't buy them because I can't not eat them.
Yeah, they are addictive.
They are addictive.
They're super addictive. Okay, what's your favorite day of the week?
I like Saturday. Yeah, I like Saturday. I try to honor Shabbat, basically the Sabbath on Saturday. Because Sunday you get up and you go to church and you're busy at church. But Saturday is a nice day of rest. And everybody's home. I like that too. My husband doesn't work.
That's wonderful. I might have to have you back on the podcast to talk about Shabbat because I mean maybe the past 3 years have really started making that part of my weekly habit, my family and I. And it has been life changing, but we'll save that one. We'll have to get you back on so we can dig into that more.
That'd be awesome.
Yes, it would. Now, how long does it take you to get ready, Karen?
To go somewhere?
Yeah. Like the process of getting ready to go.
Oh boy, maybe an hour and a half. I don't move fast, especially if it's in the morning. I'm not a morning person.
Yeah.
I move very slow. I'm always the last one in the car.
I'm kind of a morning person by force because of my children. So
yeah.
If you were a pie, what kind of pie would you be?
What kind of pie? That's a tough one. Maybe a pumpkin pie? Just to be different, I guess. Because I'm thinking everyone's going to say apple.
Right.
Pumpkin. A little healthier, maybe?
Yeah, maybe. A little bit. Okay, and last one, Karen. Bad haircut or a bad dye job?
Which one's worse?
They're both pretty horrible. But if you had to pick your worst, which would be your worst?
Oh, a bad dye job would be. Oh, what would be my worst? A bad haircut. Oh, my hair is a. Yeah, God's had to heal me about issues with my hair. I have naturally curly hair. Uh-huh. This is actually, I have a blowout and I love it.
Yeah.
But I've had a lot of haircuts in my life. My hair has been a source of contention.
Oh, so. Dear. Well, it looks
bad haircut for sure is way worse.
Oh, dear. Well, Karen, that brings us to the end of our interview. Thank you for humoring me with that lightning round.
Yeah, that was fun.
Thank you truly for showering us with wisdom today. I'm so looking forward to the For the Mom series. Listeners, be on the lookout for Karen's release. She is one of our featured moms. Again, she left us with her contact information where you can follow her, connect with her, be on the lookout for her services that are coming for mothers. And Karen, thank you so very much for your time today.
Yeah, Hannah, thank you. Really, it was my pleasure. Anytime.
Same here. God bless you.
God bless you too.
Take care. That's it for today, but the journey continues. Visit shesmarked.com for more episodes, to make a donation, or to check out the Marked Life blog. If you found value in today's episode, please subscribe, tell a friend, and consider leaving a review. Remember, the word tells us that many are called, but few are chosen. As you go through this week, remember to walk as children of light.